Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Oliver.
Okay.
Oliver. Honestly, this
Aaron's
was
chopped
one of...
Oliver hair off before you get into this thing.
What?
Yeah. She surprised me too. She just like walked in the house and like, holy shit. And she goes, oh my God, no. Like I was reacting to it being bad, but I was just shocked by it. But she cut her hair off. It's like a little bob. Anyway, sorry.
Does she look so cute?
Yeah, of course. It's amazing. And her, you know, her hair reminded me of dumplings.
Oliver, I loved this so much. This was one of my favorite ones that we've done because we really haven't explored the food world, you know, like I kept saying, I want to do some chefs. I want to like, you know, I want to get some of my friends on and they're because I'm such a foodie and it's a problem. It's why I created businesses that help me stay fit and active because I just want to eat everything. So we interviewed Hannah and Marion Chang. They are sisters and they founded the cutest, yummiest dumpling restaurant, sort of a shop called Mimi Chang's Dumplings.
Named after?
Their mama.
Yeah.
And they started the restaurant using their mom's secret recipe because food was such a big thing in their house. And it really brought everyone together, which is why I think anyone who loves food, other than obviously the creative nature of creating, you know, new dishes and things like that. But it's really about how we bring people together.
Their story too is great because the way they got into this, I mean, they both had like prominent gigs just so far from the culinary world. And their story speaks to sort of following your love and your passion, you know. It's like, you know what? I don't want to do this. This is what I want to do. I know it sounds crazy, but mom, you know, I'm going to throw away this education and I'm going to make dumps. That's what I'm going to do. I want to make dumplings.
It was so great. It also, you know, look, the food industry is hard. You're taking real risk. You know, it's not an easy industry to be in. You want to be in the restaurant food and wine business if you really are passionate about food and you and they are. So it was really nice. Also, you know, immigrant family. I loved sort of their story of their parents coming to America and really getting to know these sisters. Also, I just want to say this because, you know, I love supporting businesses like this. They do frozen dumplings that you can get that they order. They also do this really fun thing on their website where you can do a dumpling making. They'll teach you how to make dumplings. So you can get all the dumpling stuff. They send it to you and then you can do a class with them. And I think that is just so great and so much fun. So I just, before we get into this episode, I want you guys to know that that's available and that you should
have dumplings. I love dumplings so much.
And I want to do a sibling revelry dumpling.
We pitched it to them.
I know.
Right? The sibling revelry. Like we got it. There's a chance. There's always a chance.
All right. So enjoy this wonderful episode with Hannah and Marion Chang.
Hi.
How are you guys?
How are you?
Great. It's like springtime in New York City, so I have a new lease on life, you know?
You guys, I'm really excited to have you on. This is fun for
Likewise.
Us. We haven't really done much food.
We actually
This
haven't.
Is our first, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've never done siblings in food.
Yes.
So this is really fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You have a very loved dumpling bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
let's just start this off by saying
they blew off jobs at like JP Morgan in the financial sector, at Burberry, right? It was like, oh, forget yeah. about that. We're going to get into the
food
to the food industry, which is crazy.
Not an easy industry.
And also every immigrant parent's worst nightmare.
Is that true?
Yes, because historically immigrants go into these service kind of jobs because it's only a job they can really get when they go to a new country, and like their, you know, their degrees don't necessarily translate. So our parents thought that we were doing the reverse immigrant dream, and they were very confused by the whole thing.
Well, let's start. let's start with how proud they were of you, like in the beginning, before you just
before the turn
time.
Yeah, before we were opening a takeout restaurant, as they said.
Yes. They're like, yeah, we sent you guys to college, got full-time degrees, business degrees, and you want to quit? You guys are great at the jobs that you're doing. But
so they were really proud for sure. And then, you know, when we decided we were going to open our own business, they definitely tried to dissuade us from doing it for a very long time. But once that they saw that we were actually all in. And in my mom's words, she said, I thought you were just like playing around, you know, like as a little kid playing with the Fisher toy set, being like, here's some food I made, please enjoy it. And, you know, once she saw that we were actually serious about it, they were behind us 110%.
Wow. Well, we're going to go back to childhood stuff, but I do want to touch on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's go all the way back.
No, but I do want to touch on that really quickly, because that takes some balls, you know what I mean? And just to say, okay, we're leaving it all behind. We're going to follow what we're passionate about. And that's not an easy thing to actually commit to. So how did that come about? Like, how did both of you at the same time say, you know what, fuck it, we're leaving our jobs and we're going all in on this?
Definitely. So it was definitely over a period of some time. Like, it was an idea that we kind of tossed around for a while. We thought we were going to open up a cupcake shop at one point and then a donut store before the city was saturated with these things. And then I was actually bringing dumplings to work with me on the trading floor kind of on a regular basis. And all my coworkers used to ask me like, hey, can you make some extra and I'll pay for you? I was like, I have a full-time job. I don't have time to be your lunch caterer. And so we realized that this was actually a unique proposition that we had, and we couldn't find anything similar, anything close to what our mom was making at home. So we were like, okay, maybe this is what we can do. So we decided to quit our jobs with zero restaurant experience and sign a 10-year lease, which is lunacy. Anybody who asks us for advice,
insane.
We would never recommend you do this.
We didn't even do a pop-up. We're like, we are all in, you know, it's like all those cliche phrases. Like, if your dream isn't big enough, it doesn't scare you. It's not big enough. And that was completely true for us for years of, you know, pondering this idea. And then we said, it's either now or never, you know, we're in our mid-20s and you just have to pursue it. And
were you happy? Out. Were you happy at your jobs? Or were you like, I'm done. I didn't like them in the first place.
Absolutely. Fashion was my dream job. So doing the business side of that was definitely such a pursuit for me, and doing years of it. It was about 3 years of it. And, you know, it's like one of those things where you're daydreaming and you keep on not being able to have another idea, but really honing in on this. And it's like, if you can't stop daydreaming about it, you really have to explore that.
And that's what we tell people all the time. People think that opening up a restaurant is super glamorous, and it's really not. Mm-hmm. So the advice I give them is always, if you are not living, dreaming, sleeping, breathing this idea, just walk away. And what's funny is we had a lot of friends in restaurants beforehand that said the same thing. And I was always very confused by it because, you know, you look at this restaurant owner, you have 14 locations. Why would you say this is the worst career ever when clearly it's working for you? And now with, you know, 2020 vision, it's hindsight, I totally understand why people were saying that.
So let's start. Well, first of all, you guys are only 18 months apart, right?
Yeah.
We're
basically Irish twins.
Yeah. And who is the old, we were just talking about this actually with a twin researcher. about, I asked her about that, like the Irish twins, you know, 11, 12 yeah. months.
So I'm older. Yeah.
And do you feel that sort of more like twins or
not,
is it?
Not really. We both have our individual personalities, but sometimes people are like, oh, you know, that reminds me of Hannah, or down on the, when we're walking on the street, someone thinks that like confuses us for the other, or sometimes we end up dressing the same by accident. So it's just like having similar wavelengths.
And how far apart are you guys in age?
Two and a half. Basically. And okay. Sometimes we dress the same too without talking.
Who are better?
Oh my God.
Well, definitely when we were younger, I feel like our parents were like, it's a 2-for-1 deal. Like if I had a play date, they were like, oh yeah, take your sister. Did you guys have that growing up?
No, but my boys yeah. do, because I have 3 kids, like Wilder and Bodie. They're 2.5 years yeah. apart, but still, my little boy is... all his friends are my older one's friends.
In a way, it's good, because then he grows up more mature and faster, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, he is. He does, for sure.
Hannah, you're the older. Do you have any recollection of when Miriam was born, or you don't remember that?
I do, actually.
Oh,
but it's kind of hazy. So I just remembered it was dark, so it was kind of evening time, and my parents were running around in a mad scramble, and they dropped me off at a family friend's house who was a stranger to me, so I was crying the whole time. They're like, they'll be right back. And that was my first memory of her.
So it had nothing to do with
so
her.
Traumatic.
It was the trauma yes. of having of a knowing. Sibling. Right.
Not knowing who you were being thrown to.
Right. Who yeah, is
that's
this,
scary.
Who is this child being brought into the world where I now have to be with some stranger?
Right.
Do you remember when she came home?
No, I don't.
So what is your first memory of Marion?
Let's see. Well, they're kind of hazy. I can't tell if they're actual memories or it's just you see the photos and you kind of, you know, it's transposed onto your memory. We used to play a lot. You know, we would, she was like my shadow. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's oh, yeah. yeah.
Did you guys always get along?
We did not.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, let's hear about that.
Go ahead.
Oliver's like, let's just hear right about
what happened.
Where did you grow up?
We grew up in Rockland County, New York, which is about 45 minutes north of Manhattan.
Okay, so you're like New York kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suburbia New York kids.
Right. Yeah. And would you come into the city a lot?
Yeah, a lot, because it was super close. Our dad worked in the city. So we came in all the time, probably at least twice a month.
So tell us about your mom. She was born and raised in Thailand and then moved to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And give us a little background on your mom and her coming to the States.
So her story is fascinating. Her dad was actually a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army. And when they lost the war with China, they went down to fight communists in the communist triangle, which was Thailand, like Burma and Laos. And that's actually why she was born and raised there. And then she moved over to Taipei, where she met our dad. And our dad came over to the States to get his PhD. And she came with him once they were married, not speaking the language, not knowing anyone, which I think is incredibly brave. You know, I can't imagine doing that myself. There, I actually recently sent our parents a meme in the group family chat, which was, our parents are 21. Let's move to another country and give our children better opportunities. Us at 21, do you know what I can cook in an air fryer?
Right.
Which is like, so accurate.
Yeah.
Too true.
it's so true, isn't it? It's so right. wild.
What was your dad getting his PhD in?
Computer engineering.
Okay.
I mean, and then did he get his PhD?
Yeah,
he did.
And where did he get that from? Was it New York?
UMass Amherst.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That's where Hannah was born.
And what was mom doing? Raising her babies?
Raising babies. So she enrolled in a bunch of classes at school at UMass. And on the first day, I remember she said she got a stack of textbooks in a foreign language. And she's just like, I don't know if I can do this. and she was working at Burger King, and the cost of the babysitter cost more than what she was making at Burger King. So she just quit and took care of me. Mm. Yeah.
And so you grew up in Boston for a while?
No. Then we moved to Westchester. So we were only, I was only in Massachusetts for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so Sissy comes along. Now you guys are in Westchester. And
then they started hating each other.
Well, no, because so let's talk about your mom and food and like your earliest memories of food. Because I mean, this, your dumpling bar is an extension of how you were raised and the food that, that you were, raised on.
I love dumplings so much.
I know, I love dumplings too.
Next time you guys come to New York, I need to.
Yeah. I call them dumps. Don't be offended by that. I love dumps.
It's okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. One of our social media things on Wednesday is it's hump day, dump day. Yeah. And then we say tiger dumpling. But one of my earliest memories of food, I have a lot. So every year our mom used to take a trip by herself or with a friend for a week or two to just reset, take a break from, you know, her crazy family. And our dad was a really bad cook. So she used to freeze a bunch of dumplings and stay up really late at night, hand wrapping them. And I just have really fond memories of like walking down the hall, seeing the light in the kitchen on and everything being really quiet while she was doing that. And I'd hang with her for a little bit. And that's a really nice, fond memory I have.
Almost meditative in a way, huh?
Yeah. It's super meditative. Yeah.
That's so cute.
I know.
Like mommy in the kitchen making dumplings.
Mom is a great cook.
Our mom is
a great cook. She makes good chicken and dumplings.
Mom's a one pot wonder cooker, right? So her growing up, it was like an Instapot, but before the Instapot. Like she just put everything in one pot and like she would like make things happen.
Right. Nothing would be measured.
See in the fridge and there'd be like, oh, I'll take this. And she'd put it in like, maybe I'll put this in there.
That's efficient. And then, I respect that. Less dishes to wash.
Yeah. And then it, you know, you'd just go and it would be on the stove and you'd be like, wow, mom, this is pretty good. She's like, I know. I don't know how I did it.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but it's really good, isn't it?
That's a skill in itself to not use measurements and just be able to make things taste wonderful.
Yeah. That's like my grandma was like, it's a bit of a family thing. It's whipping it up and making it taste like
edible. I did cook last night and I thought I could get away with not measuring salt and pepper. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I oversalted it beyond anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you make?
I just made like a chicken with some carrots and some couscous. And I made this.
Good.
It was sort of a panko crusted.
Some couscous.
You know, it was panko crusted with some mozzarella in there.
I caramelized some butternut squash.
Yeah, you know. And I was like, hey, Baba, the Italian, I got to throw some fucking salt in there. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I should measure this. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't know.
Your big old salt bay on that.
Right. Yeah. My ego got the best.
His Italian ego just like took over and he could didn't work out for him.
Yeah. Higher dose. Oh my God.
Oh, I love this so much. This is, you know, one of those ads that I want people to really hear because I'm passionate about this.
It's a spa experience. Okay. It's a one of a kind spa experience. They've got a whole line of these infrared devices that harness the most healing technological advances available. They've got this portable infrared sauna blanket, okay? And it is truly, like, it's amazing.
I purchased a sauna blanket, and I have been using it. I use it for 40 minutes. I sweat. I feel amazing. And it's one of the best things you could do for your body. Infrared therapy, it supports glowing skin, deeper sleep, balanced mood. And as your core temperature heats up, your brain releases a dose of happy chemicals, leaving you feeling euphoric after your sweat session. The blanket's deeply penetrating heat, it instantly boosts blood flow, flooding your body with enviable benefits like radiant and youthful skin, higher energy, a boosted mood, and decreased bloat. And let me tell you, that I've experienced all of these things.
So for those of you who want to experience the benefits of infrared without the sweat, they've got this cool line of infrared PEMF mats that recharge your cells and they help you feel relaxed. And we all want to look hot, right? We all want to look beautiful and hot. And so they've got this new red light face mask that stimulates collagen. It activates glowing skin, reduces these fine lines, which I need because I've been in the sun all my life and I look like, you know, an old leather wallet for the most part. So get your own sauna blanket mat and red light mask today at higherdose.com. You can use promo code SIBLING at checkout to save 15% off. That's higherdose.com, promo code SIBLING, or just go to higherdose.com/sibling to save 15% off.
Tommy John's, comfortable, yummy, breezy, cozy loungewear. So this is your 9 to 5 cozy loungewear vibes. What Tommy John's does is it's micro modal fabrics, extended inseams. They give you all the stretch, all the flexibility. They basically design all of their cozy loungewear clothes to make it as comfortable and as easygoing as possible.
They're incredible. Honestly, the best underwear that I've ever worn in my life, and I have multiple pairs of underwear, okay? So you need to get these. I promise you. Stern, actually, Howard Stern, my idol, he's the one who actually turned me on to them, and we are lucky enough to actually have them on our podcast right now. So, you know, you got to start your day in Tommy John's. With over 17 million pairs sold, it's a lot. Tommy John doesn't have customers, okay? They have fanatics, and I am one of them. See for yourself and get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/sibling. Shop TommyJohn.com/sibling for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/sibling. See site for details.
Now, what was mom, did she cook all the time?
Yes. She cooked all the time, basically every single night. She whips things up so fast. You know, when I have a dinner party now, it takes hours. It's like pre-prep the day before. And meanwhile, she's like your mom and your grandma. It's like putting things together, whatever's in the fridge, and making lots of like stir-fried vegetables and meat dishes and then noodles and rice and whatever we want. Mm. So actually not whatever we want, because she also made us eat a lot of vegetables that we did not want to eat.
Oh yeah. That reminds me of every time. Okay. I'm traumatized because she used to pan fry liver, which is, I cannot eat that at all.
I love liver.
And she would, do you really?
Yeah.
No. No.
I
love
it.
I love
it. No. I can't. She would just like pan fry it and I'd have to sit at the table basically until I finished it. Oh. I wish I had a dog that I could slip it underneath the table. Oh my God.
So she'd make you eat liver because it's good. It's good protein, right? It's like iron. The iron is.
Yeah.
You should do a liver dump. You know, for homage.
Literally my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare.
Oh my God, a liver dump. So liver dumps. You need a nice big liver dump.
I do.
So did you always appreciate her cooking other than, of course, the livers?
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's an amazing cook. And she's like quietly savage about it too. Cause you're like, oh mom, this is the best thing I've ever tasted. And she goes, I know, it's really good.
Wait, how old is your mom? How old was she when she had you?
29, which was old for our generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember thinking that everyone's mom was younger, but I remember in kindergarten, we went to public school and for your birthday, your mom could send some birthday treats for you. And everyone's Elsa's mom used to send cupcakes or cake. And my mom sent in cupcakes and ice cream, and everyone's minds were just blown that there were. And I just remember thinking, like, my mom is the best. Mm. Oh my God. Yeah. Aww. She's older than everyone, but she's the best.
Yeah.
let's go back. Let's go back. What your guys' dynamic is kids. Yeah. So like when you guys were younger, I mean, are there any other siblings?
Us two.
Just you two. Mm-hmm. So you are clearly put in probably in everything together because you're only 18 months apart, right?
Yeah.
So like did you play sports, dance?
Yeah,
what
we
was
played
it?
Sports together. We played every instrument together, every sports team together. We went to tennis lessons together, Chinese school. We literally did everything together. I think that's why we used to butt heads because we never had real autonomy.
You couldn't
individuate. It was just like, you guys are doing this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that start though? I mean, did it start off nice? And then eventually it's like, you need to get out of my hair.
I can't believe I'm confessing this on a podcast, but I remember one time as kids, I told Mary to put her fingers through like the door hinge and I shut the door hinge. Obviously,
oh my
very
God.
Painful. Yeah. Cause she stole money. She stole money from my piggy bank. And then I did it again. And I think it was my dad ran over and he's like, why are you doing that? I was like, well, she didn't learn from the first time. She did it again.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was like,
and you know what I'm going to do? Now I'm going to cut him off. Hannah?
Yeah, so we didn't always get along.
Yeah, we did not get along.
Did that go for you too, Marion, or were you more vying for her attention?
It was the same thing where we would butt heads and, you know, there was a time that we had a blizzard in the suburbia and it was 6 feet tall. We built forts and then I just threw a snowball, like basically like a sheet of ice.
Did there a sheet of ice at my face?
It wasn't a snowball. It was a sheet of ice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You guys were like, I'm going to take you down.
But wait, was it equally loving? Meaning like, yes, it was back and forth. Or was it real? Actually, like, I don't want to be with you. Like, I just can't stand you.
I think it was equally as loving because, you know, the second someone picked on her, I would step in and be like, no one picks on her
right.
except for me.
Only me.
Like, she's exactly. my sister. Only I get to pick on her.
She was a great protector.
Yeah. We were staying at a friend's house once and our friend, I don't know, started picking on Mary and Mary was crying and we were outside. So I just picked up the garden hose and I turned it on and sprayed her in the face until she started crying. And I was like, no one does that.
Hannah, you sound pretty fierce.
She is. I'm She's like, a sharpshooter.
Is she?
When's your birthday? What's your sign?
May 10. I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus. Yeah. And what about you, Marion?
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And what about your Chinese zodiac sign?
Tiger.
Dragon/rabbit.
Oh, it's your year this year.
It's my year. I've been saying that all year.
Oh,
like, it is my
fun.
Year.
I'm a sheep.
Ugh, bad. Really? I'm a dragon, 76.
Oh, dragon is supposed to be the best.
Yeah, dragons are kind
of. The dragon's
dope,
like
right?
the big zodiac of the whole calendar.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's just bullshit.
It's the year of the tiger. It's your year, Hannah.
It is.
Yeah.
So, personality wise, like, how would you guys describe each other when you were kids? Like, what was the core issue? And then, you know, what did you need from each other that you didn't really get?
Well, I think that it wasn't so much that we didn't get from each other. I think it was this expectation that we would just do everything together all the time from our parents. So I think having a little more autonomy in the sense of like your own identity would have been great. Even though we love doing everything together, it's like having that optionality makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Go ahead, Mary.
And I was going to say, Hannah, as an older sibling, it's like usually the older sibling is like the leader because all the expectations are on the older sibling. Like she had to forge her way versus, you know, Hannah will tell you about this as well. But like me, the younger sibling, she got yelled at more. Like the parents were much more lenient on me.
Oh, she rode my coattails. Well, did that happen to you guys? I feel like with the eldest sibling, and I have a lot of friends who are eldest siblings, we gripe about this all the time of like, with your first child, your parents are doing everything by the book and they're making sure, and they're like very strict about everything. And it's like, by the time the second child comes around, they're like, ah, they're not going to die. It'll
yeah,
be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
just like, yeah, yeah. Hello.
Yeah. What? I don't know about me personally, but with my kids, I have three kids. It is that way. Yeah. I mean, the first one, yeah. you don't know what the hell you're doing. And you're like, okay, I'm going right. to do that. I have to do this. I have to do that. And then yeah. by the third one is like, oh, she's fine. Everything's yeah. good. Yeah.
Right. Oh, like, God. It's okay if she's crying in bed all night. Like, she'll put herself, she'll pacify herself.
Did you guys grow up in a strict household, or how was just the everyday life? It,
very, very strict.
It was.
It was strict for me. It wasn't strict for her.
But so, I still think for me it was strict
how?
As well.
How was it strict? Way. Like, you weren't able to go do things? Could you roam? Could you be yourself? Could you be creative? Or was it like, this is how you need to be?
Well,
actually, no. I actually think that our parents are pretty contemporary in terms of Asian immigrant parents.
Yeah.
You know, they're a lot more modern than some of our other friends' parents. But for example, I wasn't really allowed to go to junior prom, wasn't really allowed to go to certain parties, which Marianne was allowed to later. But, you know, that was for me. I had to argue with my parents about everything. And I remember, for example, after senior year prom, it's like, I want to go to the city on a party bus, and there's an after party in the city, and it was a whole fight. And then when it was Marianne's turn to go to prom, she went to the city, and then they rented a shore house on the beach. And I was like, are you kidding me?
That's,
do you know what they do in New Jersey?
That's bullshit. That's yeah. bullshit.
Yeah.
Wait, my God.
But after all your arguing, were you allowed to go on the party bus for senior prom? I mean, did you get your way or no?
Only senior year, but I didn't get my way sophomore or junior year.
Okay. But you had to argue to go on the party bus, but your argument worked and you got to go.
Yeah, but then Marianne, it just didn't even matter.
It didn't matter.
They were like,
it was like, shit.
They were like, call us at
right.
one.
We'll be at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, it was exactly like that.
That's so funny.
Do you give them shit about it? Where you're like, how is this possible? I mean, can you?
It's not even worth arguing about this point. Like, onward and upward, but you know, we still talk about that.
I wonder too, like growing up being so close in age, like what was it like with romantic relationships? Was there ever any like crossover of,
no.
I mean, not to be presumptuous. I mean, you know, of you know, what gender specific you like, but was there any crossover of?
No, never. So one thing I was going to say about Marianne is like, even though we used to butt heads, we're very, very loyal to each other, and we were never competitive with each other. There was this audition we had for a musical instructor who was like very hard to get into, and the instructor only took Marianne and not me because she's like, you're older, you play another instrument, you play sports, you don't have time to devote to another instrument. And when she accepted Marianne, I was like, congratulations, I'm so happy you got in. She goes, well, she's not taking you, I'm not going to her either. And that was it.
It's
amazing because, like, you know, we're jokingly competitive, but we're not actually competitive with each other.
That's so nice.
At what point did you guys really come together and you're older and it's like, oh, we're not butting heads and we're becoming best friends? You guys seem like you're very close now.
We're really close now.
It's after she went to college.
It was.
Yeah.
That's similar with Katie and I. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
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 So you can't. Yeah, go ahead.
It was a rite of passage going to college. You know, you get more mature and then I'm home by myself. And I'm like, oh, I have no one to hang out with. So it's like all these facets. I'm like, I miss her. I want her to come home. And then would just make our mom make us lots and lots of dumplings when she would come home.
Or should drive them to college.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to Georgetown.
And where did you go, Marianne?
I went to University of Maryland.
Oh. So kind of not far.
No, it was about 45 minutes. I had so much fun going to visit Hannah, partying with her friends.
She's a stalker.
The college stalker from high school to college. Okay, so let's talk about how you guys went from J.P. Morgan. You were VP at J.P. Morgan. Marianne, you were an account executive at Burberry. What happened? Like, what was the spark when you guys got together and were like, okay, we're going to do this. What was what was that moment for you? We talked about it a little bit, but.
Yeah, it was just an idea that we had been kicking around and we thought we be fun to start our own business. And we have always been really into food. Actually, when we first opened the restaurant, this guy that used to do a lot of projects with in the undergrad business school was like, I remember when you said you were going to open a restaurant by the time you were 30 and now you've done it. And I totally did not remember ever saying that. So it was really nice to get that message from him. So I think it was something that we had always dreamed about. And then we talked about it for 2 years and, you know, it was like, should or get off the pot. We can't keep talking about this. So like we either stop talking about it or we do something about it. So we decided to do something about it.
Were you guys foodies? I mean, did you love food in general, all cuisines,
yeah.
You know,
like just plan trips around meals, plan your day around meals. Like,
yeah,
we'll be aggressive about food.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll travel to a destination for 36 hours, just to eat good food. But it's gotten to the point where when I travel with Marion, she scares me because we have to go to like 30 destinations to eat. And I can't do that anymore.
That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I start dreading it, which is terrible.
But what was the creative process of figuring out like what it was going to be and what was your dream and what part of that dream has come to fruition or where was it different? Where did it actually end up being different than what you thought it would be?
So it started off as an idea of frozen dumplings because we thought, oh, we can roll this out across the country and then a lot more people can experience our mom's cooking. And one of our friends made a good point of, well, if you don't have a restaurant or a brand, how will people know to come look for you? So my roommate in college, actually, her grandfather helped start Rao's. You know that Italian restaurant?
Yeah,
in Harlem,
of course.
Here? Yeah. So here's a little like fate. So her grandfather helped start the jarred sauce for Rao's. And I was like, oh, we could be like a Rao's where we have one location and we develop a following and then we can do a CPG line like what they did. And then we thought, okay, maybe we'll open up a food truck. And we talked to our friend Luke, who also went to Georgetown, and he started Luke's Lobster. And I was talking to him about it, and we both were. And he was like, I wouldn't go with a truck for, you know, a numerous amount of reasons. So we thought, okay, we'll do a brick and mortar space. And then another friend who went to college with us started Sweet Green. And I remember at brunch in New York City, I was like, I have this crazy idea. Just hear me out on it. Listen to the whole idea before you say anything. And I told him, I thought for sure he was going to be like, you have no idea what you're doing. You work in finance. And instead he said, this is an amazing idea. And you will love the idea of actually creating something with your hands. You know, it's like something that you can see that's very tangible. And so they were actually launching the first Sweet Green in New York City. So he's like, you guys have no experience. So Marion quit her job and helped open the first Sweet Green and Nomad over here.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. So then you got kind of like a good
experience. Yeah.
Understanding.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hands-on experience, the shadow of the manager, work the salad line. It was such a rewarding experience and interacting with everyone. It was just so amazing.
What was one of the most shocking things that you learned that you didn't understand? Meaning like, oh my God, I thought I had this down, but now that I've worked this for a minute with Sweet Greens, holy shit.
Well, one of it was volume. It was their first location in New York, and between their online ordering and in-store, they had such a flood of people come in and consumers, which was so exciting for them, but it was just figuring out how exactly to do the workflow and operation. So I think that with all of it said, learning each aspect and just always asking questions and being a sponge with it.
Mm-hmm.
What was the vision? The vision was to have like, obviously the frozen, but then when you wanted to open your spot, like what did that look and feel like to you? And is it what you thought it was going to be?
So the look and feel to it, we wanted people to feel like they were being welcomed into our home because this recipe, it's so personal. It's our family's recipe. And also there's nothing more personal, right, than food. You're actually putting something that I'm making into your body. So we wanted the feeling to be complete 360 of you're coming into our home. So we decorated it like that. We put on like music that we enjoy listening to, and it's incredible. And still to be able to walk into a restaurant and actually walk into your dream, it's a really crazy good feeling.
Mm. Yeah. I would think that would just be so satisfying. Now, yeah. Your mom, so are they all your mom's recipes? And how did she feel about handing them over?
Not good.
Not good.
She didn't.
It was her way of getting us home from college and like still having like a special piece for us when she brought to us for work. It was like her special touch. So she didn't use measurements. So when we were trying to open up the first location and not knowing exactly what the measurements were, we had to keep on fine tuning it. And it was from a New York City small apartment to a restaurant, you know, scaling up the recipe. And that was the whole learning experience as well. And so she came for opening with our dad. And at first they're like, okay, we're going to help, you know, help with whatever you guys need. And taste tested the dumplings. And we got the stamp of approval from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
our dad
also said it was the worst internship he's ever had because they originally booked a one-way ticket.
Right.
And I have photos of him just like falling asleep against the wall of the restaurant because he was so tired from like city biking to Home Depot to get stuff. And they ended up staying for weeks. And now every time they come, they book a return trip for like 4 days. And they're like, we're only here for 4 days. And they just don't want to get stuck like last time.
They don't want to get stuck working.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. For our first location, after we were finished with construction, we had no idea. We underestimated how long it would take to set up after because we had no idea what we were doing. So that's when, our dad was really like being hands-on and like going to Home Depot every other hour to get things for us and help set up.
How do you scale up those dumplings? You know what I mean? Like how does that work?
What do you like to know? We can't share that with you.
No, I'm just saying, you have such a specific recipe.
I think this is a great idea.
You need scale.
He's like, Kate, we should get in the dumpling business.
I think for us, it's still keeping a small batch production and being able to quality control and be able to test everything out ourselves first and making sure that it's consistent. And training dumpling wrappers ourselves.
Yes.
And it's very stringent. Like even to the direction that the meat is mixed makes a big difference.
That's all we can say.
Yeah. That's all we can say.
Too many hints.
I'm showing Oliver your Instagram right now.
Maybe because the fat. You can only go clockwise.
Can't tell you.
I know. I'm not asking.
Ollie, look.
I'm looking at an Instagram of your dumps.
Of the boiling dump.
Oh my gosh.
Don't you want to just eat it? Look how cute. Look.
Wow. Awesome, you guys.
I know. It's so great.
It's so cute.
Thank you.
HelloFresh. This is one of our favorite things. We love food deliveries. You know, I mean, I have three kids. Ollie has three kids. It makes life so much easier. HelloFresh, I've been using them lately. I have really been enjoying it. It's farm fresh seasonal produce, easy to make recipes delivered right to your door every week. And these are like 15, 20 minute recipes. I mean, super simple. And ingredients, they travel right from the farm to your doorstep in under a week. So they're always fresh. And HelloFresh chefs, they really know how to diversify the menu with seasonal recipes like salmon limone and pasta primavera. You can pick your favorite from 50 different weekly options. You can skip weeks when you travel or if you need to skip a week if you know you're going to be going out a lot that week.
And you can customize your favorite dishes with their new Hello Custom offerings by swapping out one protein or a side for another. I don't want that. Oh, let's put that in. And that protein, I want that protein. Mm. Oh, I want that veggie. Well, let's do that. You can upgrade, you know, for more luxe experience. Or you can even add a protein to a veggie meal. That means more choices, more variety, and more meals truly tailored to you. Okay? Go to HelloFresh.com/sibling16 and use code sibling16. For up to 16 free meals and 3 gifts, go to HelloFresh.com/sibling16. Do it right now and use the code sibling16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. It's America's number one meal kit.
Mom gave over the recipes. They're a hit. Now, when did you realize that, like, what you went out to create was like that people loved it? Like, what was the first stamp outside of your mom
That's
and dad?
A good question. We're like, holy shit.
Where you're like,
we're big
oh,
time.
Wait, like, we actually yeah. created something that, like, what we thought was going to be, people really love it.
Well, it's funny because the first day we opened, there was like 500 people and we kept selling out. And it was so frenetic. Like, the energy was just so chaotic because we had no idea what we were doing. So we kept closing down the restaurant, putting up a sign that said, we will reopen in an hour because we had to like restock all the dumplings. And it's like, we always talk about when someone takes that first bite and they're like, and they do the head nod and we're like, yes, you know, that makes us really excited.
Yeah.
But I think it's really the thing that's hard about opening a restaurant is your experience has to be so consistent day in and day out. So we're always just striving for that.
Yeah. And the day before opening, we were in the New York Times. And so that also contributed to the flocks of people coming. So we felt super grateful for that. And just like Hannah said, like guests coming in and giving feedback and compliments. And the best is when there's an NYU student who's like, oh, this reminds me of my mom's dumplings. And that just makes us so, so happy.
So someone yesterday just wrote on Instagram that they cried when they took a first bite because they felt like it was their mom hugging them, which was the Aww. Nicest compliment everyone's ever written.
But that is, I mean, family and food. I mean, that is where, yeah. that is what created this business for you, you know?
Right.
And the importance of that. I mean, do you guys talk about that? Is there sort of any mission to inspire people to cook?
Black truffle agnolotti stuffed with red wine braised beef.
Oh, the Italian accent's coming out.
Oh, yeah. But like, can we go back to you using panko crumbs in Italian cuisine? I've never seen that.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I do. Trust me, you got to mix and match. Nothing is uniformed in
There's
my life.
There's no panko breadcrumbs in real Italian cooking.
You can do panko with anything.
I don't know. Maybe there is.
Make your own breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
I put parsley, I put some seasoning in them, but like I do what I want to do, and this is why I'm unique.
I love that. And we do that with our monthly specials. Like right now our dumpling is a buffalo chicken dumpling.
Ooh.
It's really good.
And then we have one. Oh, maybe we should do a sibling special dumpling.
Yeah, what would your dumpling be if we made a dumpling with you guys?
I would be a shrimp.
I love shrimp. This is, I can't even get over what I'm looking at.
I know, yet. Oliver
I'm so
is.
Hungry and it's just,
so, but family and food, I mean, is there any, I mean, you know, do you feel, is your thing just like good food, good food, good food? That's just what it's about? Yeah. Or do you have anything where it's sort of like, I mean, for me, I know it's really important to talk about community and like, mm-hmm. I have a vodka. That I love and I do. And a big part of that is like how we celebrate with people around us. Do you know? Like yeah, it's actually a really important thing to cook and celebrate and, you know, experience like making interesting, fun cocktails and having that connection.
For sure. And I think people in general, people who go into hospitality, especially in places like New York, you want to create a place where people can come gather and they feel safe and welcome. Mm-hmm. And for us, that starts with our team. Like we promote all of our managers from within our team. Everyone who's a manager has started out just as a general team member. So creating that kind of community and opportunities for people to advance is one of like my life's greatest joys.
That's so great.
And also the hardest part.
What is it like working with each other? Do you guys find yourself fighting again sometimes when you're
In the beginning, I feel like, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think, but you know, when you get together with your family, everyone kind of falls back into their family role mm-hmm. and dynamic.
It's so annoying.
And it's like, we're adults now. So we're like, annoying. We're still bickering.
Like, I'm not like that anymore.
I walk away. Exactly. I do so many walkaways now.
Yeah. Ollie's a walk away.
I walk away. I'm like, can't deal with
He's
it.
Like, I'm out.
I'm out. Life's too short. Not dealing with this shit.
That's a boundary.
Yeah.
He's like,
I'm not delving into this dynamic anymore.
I love you all.
I'm
but
the same.
I'm out.
I've gotten to that point too.
Totally.
Yeah. So we were definitely like that when we first started, and we had like a come to Jesus moment conversation where we're like, we would never talk to each other if this was a regular professional corporate setting. So we have to learn how to separate our sister relationship with our professional relationship.
Right.
And for the most part, it's been great. Like, we don't argue a lot because we also have each other's best interests in mind. Like, our interests and our priorities are very much aligned.
Yeah. The thing is, we know each other inside and out. And so it's like having that loyalty and always knowing that we have each other's back. So like, that's the foundation of it.
How many brick and mortars do you guys have?
Three.
And where are they?
And then the East Village, Nolita, and Upper West Side. And then we also ship dumplings nationwide with
Gold Belly.
Oh, Gold Belly.
Yeah,
oh, that's
actually,
right.
We should do that. Let's get some Gold Belly memes.
Oh, my God. I know, but it cannot. I mean, it's going to be amazing. But in store, I mean, you can't beat that. You cannot beat it.
I mean, the dumplings you get on Gold Belly are still handmade. And it really comes down to how good you are at cooking them.
Exactly.
So I get frozen dumplings all the time. My daughter loves them. And so does my middle son. Ryder does too. But my little ones love the dumplings. And so I'm always getting and trying to find like the best frozen dumplings, but I want to learn how to actually hand make them. So I might have to come over.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We teach dumpling making classes on Zoom with Gold Belly.
So
your prayers have been answered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we ship an entire DIY kit to you that has the filling pre-made with the skins and the sauce and scallion pancakes. And then it's a 1-hour class, and then cool. You become a dumpling expert.
Awesome.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Okay, so...
See? Did your mom get a piece of this business? I mean, did you give her a stake? She must have a point or two. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
She does, for sure.
Thank gosh.
Mom, it's named after her.
I know.
Yeah. She also thought it was the worst name ever.
Do you know what her store name idea was?
What?
Yeah.
Excellent Dumpling House.
I love that.
I love Excellent Dumpling House.
Would you go in?
Oh my God, Excellent Dumpling House.
That needs to be your slogan. Yeah. Mimi Chang's, the Excellent Dumpling House.
Excellent Dumpling House.
Yeah, the dumplings here are excellent.
That should be your t-shirt. It's so excellent great. Dumpling, oh excellent God, Dumpling this. House. I want to meet your mom.
I know, I do too.
That can happen too.
She sounds great. Now, is your dad an engineer? Did he end up doing things with?
Yeah. So he worked at a bunch of different banks and hedge funds, and he wrote algo trading programs.
Okay.
He got me through physics and.
Yeah. He got me through
like
physics.
All the major courses.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh God.
I don't
worst.
Even know. I was just like, that's like no, literally.
Wilder's and doing algebra right now. I'm like, don't even come to me. I have no idea. I barely know how to add without my fingers.
You're like, is that an isosceles triangle?
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yeah.
When you have a disagreement, how do you handle it? Do you bring someone in to be like the mediator, or are you guys pretty good at handling them yourself?
We
handle it ourselves.
Okay. Now, what has it taught you about each other running a business together?
We have different communication styles. And so you have to communicate in the way that resonates with that person. Just because you're saying something doesn't mean that. And this goes for anybody, whether it's a team member or each other. It's like everyone has different personalities and enneagrams and all that stuff. And it's like saying things in a way that will resonate with that person.
Right. They can be attuned to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So we, along with our GMs, we all took like an Enneagram test just so we could see what drives people, what motivates people, how do you get through to people? And that's been really helpful.
Quick question about starting a business together. Did you have a pre-talk? Like, we're sisters, we're doing this, we're not going to let money, finances, all this shit get in the way. You know, was there a pre-talk?
No, I don't remember
Nothing.
Having a talk.
Never worried about that.
We didn't have an official conversation like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from making like no money in fashion. So I was like, oh, anything's better than this.
Right.
Yeah.
You basically pay to work in fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, so pandemic. Let's talk about the pandemic a little bit. You know, when did you open? What year did you open?
2014.
So you probably had all the success. Pandemic happens. I know personally, I have a lot of friends in the restaurant industry, restaurant bar industry, especially in New York. It was so hard and sad for so many people. How was it for you guys? Did you, were you able to maintain with
delivering? We were actually having a record year that year until the pandemic hit. And we actually felt the pandemic hit much earlier than other restaurants because we're an Asian restaurant. You know, people started leaving really nasty comments, like making up stuff that was definitely very racially motivated, which was pretty disappointing because, you know, racism, terrible. And also we were all going through this together. So it felt like pretty targeted that they would come after us first. And we actually thought about shutting down and we surveyed all of our team members and we asked them like, do you guys still want to work or do you not feel safe to come to work anymore? And most people wanted to work. So we're like, all right, we have to figure out a way to stay open. And I would say that March and April and May of 2020 were, I have a ton of white hair to show for it. Mm-hmm. Ton of white hair. Mm. Yeah.
Did you feel scared for your, you know, life? I mean, did you have those moments where you were like, this is actually dangerous for us to be working?
Well, we took every precaution to make sure it wasn't dangerous. Like we really trimmed down the team so that people were really far apart from each other. And we were actually in Taiwan a month before New York shut down and we saw the precautions they were taking and it just felt different when we were there. So when we came back, we stocked up, we made sure we had plastic gloves and masks and sanitizer and sanitizing spray. Cause in Taiwan, they were really regulating and curtailing how much of that you could buy. So we were like, oh, we should get ahead of it in case we're not able to order this stuff because then we wouldn't be able to keep our team safe.
Right.
And all the hate stuff, was that just on just comments on like Yelp and all of these sort of sites where you can do reviews?
Google, in person. I remember I was walking to the Nolita store one morning at 10:30 and this guy was like really accosted me from across the street. And I started yelling back at him and then I realized he was kind of mentally unhinged. So I just ran for it. But then from that point on, we actually bought pepper sprays for our dumpling wrappers who are, you know, they're a little older, they're immigrants, they don't really speak English that well, and they were scared to get on the subway.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was so terrible.
Crazy.
It is. It's still terrible. I wonder in moments like that, like in your restaurant, did you find with the pandemic, with racially motivated aggression, like, do you find that it brings you guys closer? Like, did it bring the team closer?
Absolutely. Yeah. We started doing community meals to be frontline workers and it just gave everyone a new sense of purpose. Like they're like, we need to come into work. We need to help the communities. And it really, really brought everyone closer.
That's so great.
What about growing up, you know, just just race in your life and growing up and your parents and, you know, is that something you experienced as kids? And did your parents prepare you for that?
It's not so much they prepared, but there's like distinct, I guess, like core memories that you kind of have as kids. I feel like at least for me growing up, I didn't experience much racism unless we left where we grew up. Because where we grew up, you know all the same people from kindergarten to, you know, basically fifth grade. So there's not a lot of new people. But for sure, I remember one time we were at the supermarket and my mom was talking to the cashier and the cashier started making fun of her accent. And I was so angry. Because like our mom speaks 8 languages and here's this one woman making fun of the fact that her English has an accent. And I asked my mom, I was like, are you angry that woman was making fun of you? And she said, no, the whole point of language is for her to understand me. She understood me, right? Like it wasn't perfect, but she understood me. Mm-hmm. So you still have to speak up even if it's not perfect.
One distinct memory I had was our lunches for elementary school. They were definitely different than other classmates. So I mean,
at least in the early years.
Yeah. Early years, different, but at the, some
fried rice.
Some students would make comments of it, but of course I was just, you know, happily eating my food, but also wanting Lunchables at the same time.
Right. I would have, I would have been, as a little girl, I would have been like, please, Marion, can I have your lunch?
No, everybody would make fun of it.
Oh, really?
I remember, yes, one time I brought in fried rice and they're like, ew, you got peas for lunch. There are peas in your rice.
Oh my God, I'd give it anything.
And I wanted to die. Yeah, I wanted to die.
I guess it's also like, well, I guess maybe New York is different than West Coast. You know, like for me, like for us,
there's
more
Asian people on the West. There are more Asian people on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would, I mean, I don't know. I actually don't know what that statistic is, but it feels like it. I mean, right? We're closer.
Well, it's also much closer. San Francisco is where major immigration happened during
gold the
gold rush. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So maybe that's true. We have like a much stronger connection to all Asian foods. I'm actually in the process right now with our daughter because my partner's half Japanese. So Ronnie, I want her to have more culture because she doesn't, Danny didn't really grow up with it. You know, it's like well, you grew up with your grandma and your grandpa, her food was on another level. But I would give anything for Alice's recipes, and your mom doesn't have them, does she? They're somewhere. Yeah.
She has them or she won't share them.
They're somewhere. I think they're hidden. Yeah. Well, no, she wrote down.
She cooked by feeling as well, though.
But
she wrote down a bunch of recipes.
Write them down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good idea. Yeah. We've been trying to do that too.
Yeah. And
still, your mom won't write them down.
Yeah, she won't write them down.
Well, then how are you getting the recipe right? I mean, you just taking guesses or your mom goes in there and does it?
She gives us the ingredients and then she comes in and she taste tests it and tweaks it for us. Yeah.
So cute, mommy. Oh my God. Maybe we should have a family Zoom.
But it's also amazing how coveted recipes are. You know? I mean, just generally across cuisine, like those old school handed down recipes.
That's why when I look at some people's I remember when I got the Magnolia Bakery cookbook and I went to go do the buttercream. I'm like, no, they're lying.
Yeah.
This is not their fucking buttercream.
All the time. Yeah. We have this conversation all the time.
It's true.
When restaurants publish their restaurants, they're leaving out very specific things.
Hell yes.
Of course.
Because I can follow a recipe, right? And I'm like, this is not remotely the same dish I've had in your restaurant. They always leave something out. Because otherwise, why would you come to the restaurant?
I have this thing where I try to get salad dressings because I think salad dressings are really hard to, there's certain salad dressings I love so much, and to try to recreate them is actually really hard.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite salad dressing?
I mean, it sounds really stupid, but it's my favorite is La Scala.
LA La Scala.
The LA La Scala has a salad dressing that is literally my favorite salad dressing.
It's like oil and vinegar.
It's like oil and vinegar.
But not.
I know, but it's
there is something.
I've tried so hard to figure out what it is. It's got to be the sugar component.
And by the way, the consistency is amazing. Meaning every one you have tastes exactly the same.
It's insane.
We're going to need to come to La Scala and do some due diligence.
Yeah, we got to go on an LA food tour next time.
By the way, what do you guys, what's your favorite cuisine? I know you probably love them all, but do you have one?
Everything. Okay, I think top three are Taiwanese, Italian, and then it's a toss-up between Thai and Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
We'd agree.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just
love it.
It's just the best. I mean,
yeah. Panko crumbs and all. You know?
Hey, just try a panko dumpling. See what happens. You guys will.
Oliver's panko dumpling.
Oliver's panko dumpling.
Panko liver dumpling.
Oh my God.
Well, we'll stick to the shrimp.
But so I think Italian, and then I'm with you. It's always Thai and Japanese. It's like.
Yeah.
Oh, Thai. Love Thai, but the spice, it's too much for me. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, when it gets real, real hot.
Oh, a good tom yum gum soup.
Oh, yes.
That's my favorite.
Oh, that's one of our memories from a kid. We were in Thailand and we had the spiciest tom yum soup we've ever had. And it was so spicy that I fed a spoonful to Marion to kind of like, you know, torture her. And it was so hot that she was like, oh, it's so good. I need more. And it was like this whole, like,
so like, yeah. Addicting. The acidity.
It's so addictive. Spice. Yeah.
When are you going to open a dump store in LA?
Soon.
Hopefully. Well, we want to open a few more locations in New York before we start exploring other cities.
All right, fine. I had the all money right. for you and everything. I was ready to back the whole operation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys. Right. Let's do our speed round.
Okay.
Well, let's do this one last question. So what are you looking forward to now?
Oh, so many things. I'm looking forward to continuing to develop our team and expand our locations.
Great.
Piggybacking on that, growing our frozen dumpling business.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. One word to describe each other.
Fierce.
Okay, so Marion. Oh, say your name before.
Oh, okay. I would describe Hannah as fierce.
I would describe Marion as easygoing.
Cute. I could have told you guys that. By this, spending this hour with you. Okay, yeah. One word to describe your business relationship.
Familial.
Marianne, and I'm saying loyal.
Aww. Who's bossier? I already know the answer to this.
I'm so offended already.
I know, but see, I didn't even say your name. I knew it was you. Okay.
I'm bossier. But I'm also older.
Who's the most creative cook?
I think Marion is.
And who's the most reliable cook?
Reliable. Ooh.
Like, who's consistent?
That's a hard one.
Yeah, both of us.
Actually, expanding on that creative cook, like, how do you come up with some of your concepts? Is it just you guys saying, ooh, let's do this?
Yeah.
Well, it's between that, what we enjoy eating. And like you were saying, like, it's about community. So the hospitality industry is like working with your friends and like restaurants you enjoy.
Other chefs, yeah.
Right. Mm. Travel.
Yeah.
Is a big...
Who is the more adventurous?
Probably Marion by a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, if you're the one who needs to go to like 30 different places when you're going on a food trip.
Yeah.
Right.
What is something recently that has brought you two closer together?
I would say a lot of therapy. Individual therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Just like becoming way more self-aware.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Agree. And also on a more casual note, we both got pandemic puppies. So that's been really fun.
Oh, cute. Okay. What is your favorite thing your mom makes? If you had a desert island thing to take with you that your mom cooks, what would it be?
Besides dumplings, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would pick, can I pick two things?
Sure.
It's a desert island.
Okay. So one of them is a steamed Thai fish, which has a lot of cilantro and herbs and fish sauce and lime on it and bird eye chili pepper. So it's like spicy and sour. And then she makes this really good noodle soup that's a bone broth with tomato, eggs, and sauteed meat with lettuce and cilantro and also
and lime. And tamarind.
I gotta go.
That sounds like
I'm so hungry.
Can mom make that and send it through Gold Belly? Jeez, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
What about you, Marion?
I was going to go, if I had to pick one thing, it would be the second noodle soup that Hannah brought up.
Oh, I need that recipe. Will she hand that over?
For sure not.
Oh. Okay, so first celebrity crush.
Oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. Oh,
yeah, this is so embarrassing. I'll go with mine first.
Okay.
In the day of like Backstreet Boys.
Of course. And
my first celebrity crush was Aaron Carter.
Wow.
So Nick Carter's younger brother.
Yeah.
Mine was Joey McIntyre.
Oh, cute. Okay, mine was Devin Sawa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. That's such a throwback.
He was hot back in the day.
He really was.
Okay, you want to ask the last one?
Yeah, so last question we ask to every sibling on this show.
Okay.
Two-part question. If there's something that you would love to emulate from your sister, something that they have that would make your life a little bit better. And on the flip side of that, what is something you would like to alleviate from your sister? Something you would take away
that would make their life
a little bit easier,
better, moves more smoothly.
Oh, this is a really good question. Do people start crying when they answer this
sometimes,
question?
Yeah. Sometimes,
yeah. Yeah, I could see it. I could imagine that. Mary, you go first.
She's like, I'm gonna cry. You go first.
I am the crier of the family, but I will I will not cry. So one thing I would take away from Hannah, or that I admire really, is her confidence and boldness in whatever she does.
And what would you alleviate from her?
That
would sort of, you think would sort of give her some, you know,
peace.
Yeah. Well, I think that her sense of protection, of making sure I'm okay, or like stressing about if something's going to go wrong, I think that that would help alleviate some stress.
Yeah. Oh. Which is like from a lifetime of our parents being like, you got to watch out for your sister. You got to take care of your sister. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm right.
Yeah.
People, an older sibling, younger sibling dynamic. So with Marion, I think what I would emulate is her, just like her positive, carefree outlook. You know, the world is her oyster. That's how I summarize it. And the way I describe it is she's God's favorite all the time, which is an amazing way to approach life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to take away, I don't think there's.
Me? You're God's favorite, not mom's, but God.
I don't think there's anything that Marion needs to be taken, like anything that has to be taken away.
Wow!
Yeah.
You feel that she's really balanced and.
Well, Marion, what would you take away from yourself if you were like, I wish I could just take this like this and throw it away in the garbage?
Such deep reflection.
She's like, nothing. I'm perfect.
Yeah, she's like, I'm perfect. Can you hear that?
I think sometimes, like, you know, the whole easygoing situation, it's like looking out and thinking deeper into like making sure that you have all the necessary resources, or like have an emergency bag in your car, you know, like thinking of all these things ahead of time. Like, not everything's going to be positive and great. Mm-hmm.
I think your sister
why prepare?
Is right.
Yeah, you're right. You're perfect.
It's like,
why prepare?
Why?
Who needs an emergency bag when there's never going to be an emergency?
Exactly.
Don't worry. Have an emergency bag.
Okay, it's good.
You guys, thank you so much for spending the time talking to us.
Thank you so much for having us.
I cannot wait to eat your food. Cannot wait. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.